Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is episode 2 with Lai Salmonson. Hello, Brother Lai, how are you?
Hey, Sammy, I'm doing well, thank you, and thank you for having me again.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your personal story in the previous episode. It was so powerful and encouraging, so thank you again for spending time with me. And today, in episode 2, we'll love to hear more about your current ministry at the Baptist State Convention and the Fairview Baptist Church.
Okay, great.
So before we talk about what you are doing currently, could you tell us about your previous ministry experiences?
Sure, absolutely. When I told you about my first becoming a Christian at 25, I really didn't have much of a Christian background. I didn't grow up in the church. My family never took me to church, but I did go with my best friend, who actually led me to Christ eventually at the age of 25. And then just the following years, I met my future wife and getting into being part of Bible studies. The first thing I started working was with children's ministry. So I got to learn the very basics of the Bible using children's stories. So that was really good and foundational for me, learning just in a very basic way what the Bible says and how we should live for Christ. So after that, I was a part of the Young Married Bible Study Group, helping teach that class. I also went through faith in evangelism, and just different types of evangelism training through my young Christian life. And so that became very important to me. I did a lot of evangelism visitations, and then soon I became a life group teacher, became a deacon later. And over the last year, I actually worked with international students through NC State with the Chinese College Bible Study. So I was a sub as a teacher and actually did most of the teaching because the primary teacher was having a baby. So I was able to step in and just go through the entire overview of the Bible in 12 weeks. So that was very, very good. And most recently, over the last 10 years, the most important ministry for me would be the Raleigh Flea Market Ministry. It's called the Raleigh Marketplace Ministry. And so that has really been a great experience for me. My top giftings, I would say, from the Holy Spirit is evangelism and teaching. So, you know, I've been trying to get involved in ministries that have the most impact in reaching the lost with the gospel message.
Wow, that's great. Wow. What is your current role?
Well, here at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, I'm the webmaster and team member of the Information Technology and Information Services Group. So I help churches and associations around the state develop a website. I also help in training ministry assistants in various software to help them do effective ministry work for the Lord. And as a group, we provide equipment, services, and training to all the staff of the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, including you, and everything you need so that you're effective in your ministry.
Right. Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, as well, my ministry is at the church, at Fairview Baptist Church in Apex. My main ministry is leading in a local outreach ministry to the vendors of the Raleigh Flea Market. We call it the Raleigh Marketplace Ministry. And there I help preach the Word of God on rotation with four of the other leaders in the group, assist in helping invite people from the flea market to attend our worship services every Sunday morning, and also intentionally build relationships so that I can share the gospel with those folks and maybe even disciple some of them, which I have, and I'll share with you in a little while.
Right. Yeah, that's great. That's very encouraging to hear what you do, because you are serving at the state convention as webmaster. That's your full time, but that doesn't limit you from doing ministry.
That's right.
So right. I really know that there are so many people like you in the RTP area, because we have so many gifted technological people, but they can also do ministry for God's kingdom, just
like
you do.
That's right. So I think it's a privilege to be able to do ministry full time. To work for the Lord full time is just an awesome privilege and a gift, I think. We're really gifted here. I think there's so many folks that do such wonderful work for the Lord, and I get to be a part of that. So that's very exciting for me to be a part of that.
That's right. That's great. What is the biggest need among immigrants in the Research Triangle Park area?
Well, you know, being, I guess I would be a 1.8 type of immigrant, right? I was born in Vietnam, but grew up here in America. Really never knew my own culture, except for the foods I ate and, you know, the way my mom treated me growing up, my siblings. Really that was one of the biggest for me was the language barrier for me and the culture itself, the way people thought and acted and dressed. And so that was a big transition for me. And I think that could be a transitional issue with a lot of immigrants that come to America. They just, everything's new and unfamiliar and alien to them. So what I've experienced at the Raleigh Flea Market, from the vendors that sell there, many of them are immigrants. Many are internationals that come here looking for ways to make a living. And so meeting just basic needs is a huge issue for immigrants. Many of them have to rely on government handouts and different things, if they can get that. Many may be even the illegal immigrants. So, you know, just trying to make a living. And, you know, I've met even just a couple of those folks from, you know, Iran, for instance, that were selling there, didn't speak a lick of English, but I was able to hand them a track in Arabic. So, you know, there's just different ways that I see great needs in our own community here. Many nationals are coming here. Internationals are coming here. We don't have to go overseas anymore to talk to them. Many who sell their goods can barely speak English. So, you know, I've met people from China, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Pakistan, Iran, Nigeria, Ghana, Mexico, Cuba, and even other nations around the world. So, I mean, it's just, it's like the flea market seems to be an international community in itself, you know, mixed in with all of the Americans that are already there, you know? So it's a very cool hodgepodge, like a melting pot here in our local area that where I get to actually rub shoulders with people from all over the world. So it's very cool ministry to be a part of. I think some are really struggling to put food on their tables. I've met some homeless people there. And you know, folks trying to get work in the U.S. because they lack the U.S. citizenship. I think many of the Asian folks are working in their ethnic restaurants as a plus. You know, some are able to come because they know family members who own restaurants or work for restaurants are able to come here. And so, you know, the Asian culture, they typically work 6 to 7 days a week, you know, up to, you know, 16 to 18 hours a day, you know, working from early morning till late at night, every single day, putting money away so that they can make a living, put food on the table, you know, feed their children. So I think one of the greatest physical needs that they have when they come to a new country with a new language and all a new culture are just basic needs.
Right.
You know, the language barriers are there. But, you know, despite all that, I think the greatest need is their spiritual need for the Savior.
That's right.
Above all the things that they have to suffer through. Getting them the gospel, I think, is the cure for their disease of death and the sin we all share in, right? So that's probably my primary goal, is making sure they hear the gospel in their language.
That's right.
Yeah, when you just listed the names of the countries that you encountered in the flea market, it sounds like the world is here. God has brought the nations who are here, but many of them are maybe unreached people groups are pretty dominant there. But I think God is definitely giving us great opportunity to
reach
the nations who are here. I know God is doing amazing things in your life and through your life to touch on many lives. Can you share exciting stories what God is doing through your ministry?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, through the Raleigh Marketplace Ministry, it's been active for about the last 10 years. And out of all the lives that were impacted by us being there and worshiping the Lord through a short worship service, one life was very prominent for me. And, you know, I met Yai. He's an artist from Thailand. He works at the flea market. He has his own art booth. And I met him in April of 2015, and he visited our ministry for the very first time. I recognized, you know, him right away. So, some Asian guy is here. So I have a connection right there. So I remember sharing the gospel with him following the service and spending time with him at his art booth talking about life. You know, we had so much in common. I was able to share the love of creating art myself because I, you know, graduated from the School of Design at NC State. So we had a lot in common to talk about. So within several weeks, I invited Yai and his family to my church at Fairview, and they came. Yai told me he accepted Christ during that service after hearing the gospel and was just baptized a month later. So that was really awesome news. I spent the next 3 months discipling Yai at the flea market with three other men that recently accepted Christ or made a recommitment to follow Jesus by going through the book of John. So, you know, I wasn't thinking ahead. I just got three books talking about the book of John in English, thinking that, okay, this Hispanic man, this young African-American teenager, and this guy from Thailand are able to come together with me, and I would teach him in English. And that, to me, was a kind of a mistake, because I had issues trying to communicate to them in their own context and their own culture what the book of John said. So I immediately recognized I had a hard time understanding teaching Yai effectively because of that language barrier. So that's when I sought help from you, Sammy. So I asked you and I asked Zach to help me find a Thai-speaking believer that would be willing to disciple Yai. And that's when God provided Jonathan Derbyshire, who was a missionary kid in Thailand that was working on his doctorate at the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. So his father actually pastors a church in Thailand, and that's where Derby or Jonathan was able to learn Thai and the culture and come here and be utilized to help Yai be discipled in his own language. So what I learned from Jonathan is that there are no other Thai believers that we could identify from in North Carolina. So that was pretty, it's like, wow, no other Thai believers? Is that true? No Thai churches in North Carolina? So Jonathan agreed to meet with Yai weekly at his Thai restaurant in Durham and has been going through the Bible in the Thai language. So that was, you know, quite a benefit for him and for me as well, because he would be able to work with him in his own language. Just recently, after 4 years of discipleship, and this is exciting, Yai shares the gospel with a fellow cook by the name of Penn at his restaurant, and she accepts Jesus as her Lord and Savior. So you see a disciple making a new believer, right? Disciple making in action. So Penn was baptized in June this past year at Fairview Baptist Church and joined the Yai's Bible study group. So that's very exciting to see how God's at work through Yai to share the gospel and see a new sister in Christ as a result. Which is what we're all commanded to do, right, in our Great Commission. So last month, Yai joined a team to go to Thailand to help plant new partnerships with local pastors and also to share the gospel with the mountain people near his hometown. So Yai experienced his first missionary trip and was able to sit down with his entire family and share the gospel and his own testimony with them. I don't know how many people actually have that opportunity, but God opened that door for him to do that. And so I'm really excited to see how God will continue to grow Yai and use him for his future ministry. So wow. Very exciting.
It's very exciting.
Through just even one member of our Roddy Marketplace ministry.
Right, yeah. I had a privilege to meet with Yai, Brother Yai, and it was great. He's definitely on fire for the Lord. And Lord willing, all four of us, Jonathan, Yai, and you, and myself, will sit down together and do this podcast interview just to see what God is doing in Yai's life and for the future. So yes. I'm very excited about what God is doing in Yai's life, but thank you for being the instrument, God's instrument to
absolutely.
Reach.
I think we're, Yai and, when it comes to planting seeds in folks, leading people to Christ, it's a work of God.
That's right.
But we are the ones that have to tell. We
that's
have
right.
to go and tell and
that's
share.
Right.
And so that's important for us as Christians to obey God in the Great Commission. And so it's important that when you see the fruit of that, you can give God more glory and praise, because he's the one that did that.
That's right. Amen. Now, what are some challenges you've faced or are facing at your ministry?
Okay, so since I work in kind of an international community of sellers at a flea market, I would say the greatest challenge would be sharing the gospel with people who barely speak English. So, you know, I have gospel tracts I had to order in other languages, like Arabic, Vietnamese, and Spanish, to hand out to people from those areas of the world. God still works in the midst of our cultural and language differences. You know, I believe in Romans 1:16, where it says that, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." So you notice it's God's power mm-hmm. that brings salvation to people.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We just have the privileges of giving them the gospel, mm-hmm. but God does all of the converting. God does all of the work in a person's heart. We can't change them. We can't ever convince them,
right.
but God can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just amazing that God privileges us to do that. You know, I truly believe, you know, that we can be used like a fisherman to go be fishers of men, or a gardener who just plants a seed, and you know, among many planters of that seed, you know, I just happened to be one of the last seeds
mm-hmm.
before Yai became a Christian, right? So we can be ambassadors, just as Yai became an ambassador for Christ as he learned more and about the Bible and his discipleship from Jonathan. He was able to share the good news too,
mm-hmm.
and you see that happening again and again
mm-hmm.
With his life. You know, he's obeying God, he's trying to live a life for Christ, and he recognized that it's God who restores our relationship with himself through
mm-hmm.
Christ.
That's right.
So that's, to me, it's just amazing that God uses us in that way to mm-hmm. make disciple makers.
That's right. Yeah, definitely living in America, we can bump into the situations like this when there's a language barrier. There's a good resource I want to recommend. It's on the app. It's a free resource. It's called the Jesus Film. And if you download the app, it's free. You can play the Jesus Film video in more than 1,000 different languages.
Wow.
And there's also a 6-minute version of it. It's a very condensed version of Jesus Film, and it's pure gospel. And you can also share that in different languages.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that can cover the languages of those people that you encounter. So use that for the refugees, and it works really well.
Hmm.
And also, some people may not even able to read if they're coming from the culture or illiterate culture, but Jesus Film, it's played, so you can see visually and you can listen to it in audio. So just a good resource.
Yeah. So you can download this on your mobile phone.
Yes.
And share it through that.
Yeah, exactly. These days, that's everyone great. Uses the smartphone, so I think they can also download it. But just wanted to share that.
Great. I may use that resource sometime, especially with those I actually see every week,
mm-hmm.
and I know that we have that language barrier, and
right.
I can just say, hey, can you view this for the next 10 minutes and
right.
see what you think?
Yes.
And see just what comes of it.
Right.
Because they will hear the gospel, of course, through this
Jesus
film.
That's right.
Very good.
Now, having said that, why is evangelism important?
So, you know, I think evangelism is the means by which God uses his children to share the gospel intentionally so that God gets the glory in changing the hearts of unbelievers. You know, God could have used the angels to proclaim his glory, you know, and share the gospel, but he reserved that great commission to all of us who live for him. So, you know, he has commissioned believers to teach others to obey everything he has commanded us to do. From, you know, Matthew 28, we're commanded to do that. So therefore, discipleship and learning to become disciple makers is very important in the life of a Christian. And that's why it's important we learn what the Bible says, we obey what it says, we memorize scripture so that we can be used by the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
to encourage others, share the gospel, and also to pray so that God can use us more effectively for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So evangelism is the means by which I think we grow the closest to God.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we're commanded to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do, we see God at work. And we see God transform lives.
That's right.
And that's where we can get really excited about, hey, God is at work. And we get to see seeds grow into beautiful trees that produce more fruit. So I think that's why it's so very important and vital for every Christian to share the gospel with their family and friends or people they have a sphere of influence with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't, what will happen? We kind of get stagnant, we get apathetic, mm-hmm. we kind of, our faith wanes, our relationship with the Lord, we kind of turn more worldly, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So I think with evangelism focus in every Christian's life, it keeps that fire burning in us. The Holy
That's
Spirit's
right.
able to work more effectively through us
mm-hmm.
when we have that relationship with God.
That's right. How does discipleship look like at your ministry?
So, you know, at the Raleigh Marketplace Ministry, our service is really short. It's only 30 minutes long. We start the service at 8:15 and finish around 8:45. We do three songs. We do a short 20-minute preaching out of the Word with the gospel message. And then we have about 15 minutes of fellowship before the flea market opens at 9 a.m. You know, we have coffee and donuts, we talk. I usually use this time to be intentional about meeting people who are visiting. Mm-hmm. So I get to learn where they, you know, if they grew up in the church, if they have a Christian background or anything like that. So it really opens the door for me to share the gospel with brand new people. Mm-hmm. You know, with Yai as well. You know, when I met him, I got to know a little bit about him. And then I just switched it over to spiritual. Mm-hmm. So what kind of background do you have? And so that's where I was able to share a gospel track with him, mm-hmm. and just go through the gospel mm-hmm. with him for 3-4 minutes. Mm. And he invited me back to his art booth, and we got to spend more time talking about that. So we spent the next hour together talking about mm-hmm. God and his relationship to his own beliefs growing up, you know, in Buddhism. So, you know, that's the time, I think, in that very short 30 minutes is just a way for us to really get to know people. Mm. Because when the flea market opens at 9, they're usually sitting at their booth selling their goods, and that's where we can go and actually sit down with them. So I see that you visited us today. Do you mind if I sit with you and chat with you for a little while? And that usually that turns out to be a very good conversation, especially when I say, can I pray for you over anything that's happening with you? So it really opens the door to have more intimate conversation with them and get to know them better. And that's where I spend the next hour. You know, during the flea market from 9 to 10 before I go to my regular service at Fairview Baptist Church, I spend an hour with the people at the flea market building relationships, mm-hmm. Intentionally getting to know them, befriending them, mm-hmm. so that the gospel can be shared and heard and respected, you know, from a friend. Sometimes I do meet people that only show up for a very short period of time, a couple of weeks, and they're gone. But I'm very intentional about trying to share up front, mm-hmm. and then more intentional after I get to know them better, a more detailed version of the gospel, not just the simple version. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, Yai just responded right away. So I knew God was working on him, mm-hmm. you know, with other believers that may have shared with him in the past. And I think I was just one of the last seeds.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. Well, thank you for sharing. In the next episode, we'll love to hear your vision for Asian Americans to advance God's kingdom.
Great.
Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.